These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Or three-pointer. Buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
It is the Big Shot Bob podcast. That's B-Dog Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenners, and live from Crypto.com Arena.
No.
Is
no.
Robert Ory.
No. No.
Seven-time NBA champion.
Get that mess out of here.
I mean, talk about a world divided today over the name of a stadium. We say goodbye to the Staples Center.
No, we don't.
Well, we do, in naming rights at least. In naming rights at least. And as a gentleman who has to get paid by this said team, you better get it right. You know what I mean? So.
It's weird that people are up in arms out here in Cali about that. I'm like, I bet you if we had never won championships in that building, they'd be like, okay, change it. But since you won championships
but you've won
in
plenty.
That building, they want to change the Staples. Hey. It's just the name. The builder's the same thing. It's just the name.
His mama call him Clay. I'ma call him Clay.
Mama name him Clay. I'ma call him Clay.
That's just like when people got up mad in Houston when they went to the Compaq Center. They're like, "What's the Compaq Center?" I can't even remember the name of the place.
Compaq. That's right.
What was the name of
shitty computer brand that went up before? Yeah, I can't remember the name of it before.
I got a brain fart right now.
But this is corporate America today.
Yes.
Not that you can do about any of this stuff. And Staples, God bless Staples, the brand Staples is gonna not be around probably for the rest of time. And I'm sure that they've probably suffered. And, you know, I mean, they're a retail store. Brick and mortar stores just don't do it anymore.
But think about this. Amazon putting everybody out of damn business anyway. So
yeah,
Staples.
Damn straight. Yeah. Live from Radio Shack Arena. Oh, shit. Yeah, they don't have that anymore.
And crypto, you know, cryptocurrency is taking over. So who doesn't like the name crypto? Think about it.
Well,
that was Superman's dog.
Yes, it was.
Crypto.
It was. You look on the bright side. I can tell you there ain't going to be any bloods at these games, man, when you got crypto arena.
We're going to the crypt.
No bloods at these games.
We're going to the crypt.
Tell you what, man. Not one of them.
Politics.
No, it's not politics.
It's a lot of money. It is politics.
It's politics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on. Here's my thing. If you're going to rename it that, and we're here now, it's a lot of money being exchanged.
Summit.
Oh, Summit.
Called the Summit first, right. And it went to Compaq Center. Yeah, sorry about that, B.
But there's an example of Compaq as a company who was really big for a minute and then went belly up. And now you have to go, okay, well, shit. Now, how do we rename this arena yet again?
It's called a Joel Osteen church now.
That's right. That's right. In Houston, damn straight.
Yeah.
That's right.
Drop the .com.
Summit, the Compaq, yeah.
What do you say?
Drop the .com, crypto arena. Crypto arena.
You know, it does have a I bet you, I'm not going to bet, but probably they're going to be like crypto.com. Most people are going to call it crypto. I know if I'm going to be calling, I'm going to say, man, I'm not going to say crypto.com. I'm going to say crypto.
No, Rob going to mess around and say, and you and a lot of other people that are reporters and that are analysts in studio, outside of studio, it's going to take a while for a lot of you all to get used to crypto.com. Y'all going to call it Staples. Somebody gonna call it Staples.
Of course they are.
Oh, you're gonna be a lot of slip of the tongue. Hey, if I want to, I just revert back to college days and call it a CC. You know, I'm telling you about it last week. We talked about the club we used to go to called a CC.
Oh, yeah.
Remember going to the CC?
Yeah. Going to the crypto club. Does this stuff bug you when these arenas change? Like, I mean, there's, I guess the thing is with Staples, like B-Dog said, you guys won titles there. You were part of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a long history there, but it's 20 years, and it's Robert Horry, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant. I mean, there's a lot of ingrained memories in that building. Does it bother you when they change the name?
It doesn't. For me, it doesn't bother me because it's about what was created in that building, not the name of the building. Because at the end of the day, you go inside, it's the Lakers' home. You know, Clippers kind of, you know, rent there. But we all know it's the Lakers' home. It's the Kings' home. And that's where the championships were made, on that floor, not on top of the building on Staples. You know, cryptocurrency, crypto.com, whatever they want to call it. I'm happy with it that the L.A. fans still come out. They still support the Lakers, even during these trying times.
Yeah. They is not that trying. Oh, let's go back to – hold on. Let's go back. Speaking of trying times, you know, I think we made it through, what, 15 games now. What would you say? What did you say the Lakers record was going to be after 15 games?
I said 5-10, right?
Something like
no,
that.
It was actually after 20. You said 5-15.
Yeah, they're going to be 5-15.
5-15.
What are they? 8-7.
Are they 8-7?
Yeah,
I think that's the record. Yeah.
Okay. As bad as they've been, their nose is above water.
Yeah.
Hey.
And it's been an ugly 8-7, though.
Oh, first of all, man, those three overtimes, those should be losses.
Hey, look.
Hey. You know, and I'm not saying that because I don't have faith in the Lakers. I have faith in them. I just knew it was going to take some time. Yeah. You got to understand.
It's not
like they're adding pieces that fit. Yeah. They're trying to put, you know, squares and circles and all this type of thing, because Westbrook is a type of player that needs to fit with a certain type of guy. LeBron hasn't been playing. He needs to fit with a certain type. AD. Yep. And then, more importantly, all the other guys who need to come in and fit in and fill in and understand how those three big dynamic players play and try to, you know, play around them. So I felt it was going to be a work in process, but I do feel like they still have the team to win it all. It's just they need to get it together.
Let me ask you a quick question in regards to Anthony Davis. Is he a leader?
Is Anthony Davis a leader? I don't know. And it's this thing when you talk about leaders, you have to understand this. You have to get to know people and understand who they are. And if I was a teammate, I could comment on that, but I'm just outside looking. I've never even had a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. I've met him a couple of times. I don't know how he is in practice or on a bench in a game. So I can't really comment on that. And that's the thing, people on the outside, well, he's a leader. So you don't know if guys are leaders or not. For instance, you take Dream. Dream was a leader on the court. He led by example. He wasn't a guy who talked a lot. You take Tim Duncan the same way. Wasn't a guy who talked a lot. You take Kobe. He was a little bit of both. Shaq was a guy. He did a little bit of both, too. So that's what you got to understand about leaders. And I was very, very fortunate that every team I played in, we had every guy was a leader in his own right. He led himself. He led his teammates. He was able to, you know, uplift guys when he needed to. He was able to, like, if you're going down the wrong path, you didn't need a teammate to tell you. You could correct yourself, and so that's the good part about being championship teams. You don't really need a leader. Everybody is kind of a little leader in themselves.
Well, I can tell you that they're missing the heart and soul of that team, and that's Alex Caruso, because they threw him like a freaking parade the other night, practically, with the tribute video, and everybody's loving on Alex Caruso. I'm like, you think he played here for 30 years? Jesus.
And the funny part, then you got Lonzo Ball who's sitting there saying, y'all don't, me too. Oh, okay. Then I'm going to put these J's in your eyes. And it was so weird.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
What's the definition of a tribute? Like, what's the criteria for a tribute video?
But what do you mean? Like, what do you have to accomplish to get one? Is that what you're asking?
You only get one if you win a championship.
Right, but what I'm saying is, and he did win one, but when I look at tribute videos, not only am I looking at it from the standpoint of somebody who also won a title, but also somebody who, and I know Caruso did his thing, I'm not taking away his contribution, but also somebody who had, like, they would not have won this title without this dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Caruso, good player, but
tribute video.
It also boils down to how much you love by the fans.
True.
You know, and a team knows when players are loved by the fans. Sometimes players like Caruso love more than like AD. They love more than LeBron because they're that heart and soul. Because you think about it, the people on that bottom bowl, you know, they expect everybody to perform. But the people on that upper bowl, they love guys like Crusoe, KCP, you know, and those guys because they're the hard workers of the team who don't get a lot of love, because all those guys that sit up there are the hardworking guys who don't own businesses that can't afford the seats down there. Right. So it's bad part. I was at that game, but I didn't get there to halftime because my son had a game. And so I didn't get a chance to see the video, but so I remember when I left the Lakers and I came back as a Spur and they gave me a video. I was like this, I don't want that shit. and I said that because it's like, I'm not fucking retiring yet, man. Don't fucking give me that shit. That's like saying like, oh, he's old, he's retired.
I think that's just their way of being like, thank you.
To me back then, the mindset was like, I ain't retired. What y'all trying to say? Like, y'all trying to roll my ass out of here?
No, they play Sarah McLachlan under it.
They're giving you your flowers while you're still here.
You know what? And because I'm going to tell you, this is a guy that I wasn't going to do it. But Tom James, who is the PR guy for the Spurs, says, Rob, you know, you deserve this. This is, man, you had a great 7 years with the Lakers and they trying to do something nice. Say thank you. A lot of times they don't do that for guys. Yeah. He's actually the one that talked me into it when he sat down, you know, just kind of, because, you know, sometimes the emotions take over. Like, I don't want that shit. You know, I was still a little bitter about my contract situation, how they didn't, you know, do what I asked. And so I was still a little bitter. At the end of the day, I still did. And I have that jersey. Framed the jersey for me and they gave it to me. I walked out. And I think that was the second time in my career as a Laker I got my name chanted.
Look at you.
That's awesome.
It's folk out there that would die for that moment. Look at you.
And you're like, I don't even
look
want
at you, ungrateful.
Thinking I'm dead. It's like a eulogy.
Hey, you're right. I was salty, man. You got to think about this. I was supposed to make $6 million, and then I went from making $6 million to $1 million. You've been fucking salty, too.
You're right. But you know what, though?
Trent,
you know what?
Yeah.
Look, that's rich people problem. I ain't nowhere near that. So you know what? I'm going to still say it. You was ungrateful.
That I didn't have that extra $5 million.
I am sorry.
I'd be pissed, too. If I left $5 on the table, I'd be pissed, too. Freaking pissed.
But you know what? Yeah. I want that privilege and that opportunity to be pissed one day, leaving $5 million on the table.
Hey, I'm totally grateful for after that moment happened. I was totally grateful, and because it lets you know how much the fans appreciate you. Because sometimes when you play behind guys like Shaq and Kobe, you know, you think that's the only ones on that team that exists.
Right.
You understand that, you know, there are fans out there that do have a love for the guys that aren't the big dogs. And right. So it really made me appreciate it. And I'm so happy. I tell you that I never got one from the Rockets or the Spurs.
Antonio, I can understand, but I'm surprised by the Rockets. You know, you figure the Rockets.
It was Payless. Payless wasn't trying to do anything for anybody.
But when you hit the shots that you've hit in a city like LA, that's a basketball town that has even the rich history and heritage before you, Shaq and Kobe, they're going to always look. Just like they still love Derek Fisher. They still love Fish. They still love you.
They still love him.
Yeah. When they see y'all, they're always going to relish in what you did for the city because you wore that Lakers across your chest. That's what it's always is. That's the way I see it.
Yep.
It just threw me. They gave Caruso the tribute. That was all.
It threw me a little bit.
Nothing wrong with the kid. Good for him. But I was like, how long did he play?
I spent 7 years there. Caruso only had like what, three?
Yeah, three tops.
One successful year.
Yeah, one good year. I mean, if that's all it takes, shit, I should have had a tribute video at this place a long time ago. You only get one good year.
Yeah.
All right. See, now they got to do a whole thing when, you know, I wonder how they're going to do it when Kuz goes back. Because think
Kuzma?
About it. Yeah, Kuz is going back with KCP.
Yeah.
They'll get a standing ovation.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to – I don't know if they roll that out
for
Kuzma.
They got to now. They've started. You know, they got to do something with KCP and Kuz.
They don't like – I don't think they're as beloved as Caruso is, though. Yeah. Like Caruso, there were a lot of people who had jokes about Caruso.
Well, and
it was
Caruso
fun.
And LeBron were tight, so I think that played a big part in it too. You know what I mean? So
they've been trying to get rid of Kuzma. The Lakers fans tried to get rid of Kuzma every single year. Even if LeBron said, "Hey, this is Kuzma's year," he said that for three straight years, and everybody talking about, "Yeah, this is the year he gets traded."
Hey, I've been there, done that too. Every year, you're talking about, okay.
we're, by the way, in a few minutes here, I'm joined by I think a guy you know pretty well, right? Kevin Frazier, Entertainment Tonight.
ET's.
Yeah, because Kevin obviously covered the NBA for years.
Yep.
And was around, I think was doing NBA stuff when you were playing. Uh-huh. So, yeah, before he ever got to Entertainment Tonight. So,
it's always amazing when you see the growth of people. And think about it. He went to, you know, interviewing fresh guys in the NBA like myself. Now he's interviewing guys like, you know, Will Smith and
your doppelganger,
mega stars, and my doppelganger.
Hey, we gonna have Will on. I got to be able to see you and Will like on the just side by side and be able to say, "Bruh, y'all look exactly alike."
We look so much alike when we were younger. You know that when we both were, he's still in good shape. I'm still a little fluffy. So when I had this, you know, the narrow face and the flat top and my ears stuck out like his, and so
the baby,
know, my wife
face,
actually thinks that I had I had my ears pinned back because they don't stick out as far as they used to. But the crazy part, I told her, I just got fat, baby. That's all it is.
My face just filled in the gaps is all
happened. My face filled in the gap.
That's all
you said
is.
Y'all were younger and y'all looked alike. Well, y'all old and y'all still look alike.
Everybody's old now. Frighteningly enough, the holidays are right around the corner. That's a scary thing
to
say.
Happy holidays.
Oh, dude, there's Christmas trees up in my neighborhood. It's screaming in full speed. You might be thinking about how you need to save some extra money or maybe consolidate some of your debt around the holidays. Well, our friends at Lightstream got your back on all of that stuff with great low rates and ways to save. We've partnered with them. We've talked about it before. Both Rob and I have used Lightstream a lot in the past. They're doing their part to help everybody get out of credit card debt. So if you've got some high balances, smarten up, pay them off with a credit card consolidation loan from our good friends at Lightstream.
Yeah, I'm still using Lightstream. We love Lightstream. The customer service, the great loan options, but we really love that their rates start at 4.98%. That's 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Don't forget that. You got to have some excellent credit. Mm-hmm. And even better, the rate is fixed so it would never go up over the life of the loan.
So that just means that if you have a mountain of credit card debt you're trying to tackle, anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000, there's no fees. And that rate's not going to change, like Rob said. So you can get your money as soon as the day you apply. And just for our Big Shot Bob listeners, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount and save even more money. So they got the total hookup.
Yeah, but the only way to get that discount is to go to lightstream.com/Ori. That's lightstream.com/Ori. That's Horry for those who didn't know.
That's an Alabama education right there. I can
at his best.
Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.9% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rates require excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Horry for all the information. I do want to pick Kevin's brain about a few things, though, but I will bring this number up because this kind of threw me. Most games where someone had a made.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
9 made three-pointers. 9 made three-pointers in a game. Let's see. Harden had 9. Dame had 9. Klay had 7. J.R. Smith had 5. Kobe had 4. Steph has now had 37.
Damn.
37 games where he's made 9 or more three-pointers in the game. 37 times. And the freaking Warriors are like, what, 12-2 or something right now?
It's scary. Yeah, it's scary
out. They are.
Scary out. And they ain't even got Klay back yet.
You know,
he's coming.
It's all about, you know, that system and knowing each other. And I credit Poole. Poole is killing it, man.
Yeah, he is. He's
balling. And, you know, and the guy that everybody's been waiting to play good, Wiggins. You know, Wiggins ain't played good since he was drafted, so now he's playing good.
Dang, we see Kevin Frazier in 4K. That's the clearest Zoom thing I've ever seen in my life.
I know it, right? I'm all jealous here.
Dude works in television.
You know, just trying to keep up with y'all. Just trying to be free.
that's
you
the
know, when you're doing, that, man. Let me tell you something. When you're doing Zooms with Halle Berry, you need to look good.
Yeah, damn straight. You better.
Hey, yeah. I can only dream with that big dog.
All I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, like I said, he goes from interviewing podunk rookies like Robert Ory to interviewing Halle Berry. He's like, look, that dude has just rise to the top.
Come on now. Come on now.
That's a step up. How you doing, Kev?
I am so good. I'm glad to be here. I hear y'all talking about Golden State. Let me tell you something right now. When Clay comes back,
when you
add Wiseman into the mix, and here's the other thing that I think people overlook, the importance of Iguodala being there.
Yeah.
He is such a, like, he fits in there. It works for him in that space. So, like, before, you know, it just wasn't the right fit other places. He's such a perfect piece there, you know?
Yeah. It really works. Yeah.
Y'all better
watch out.
You talk about pieces. It's all about pieces, man. It ain't always about players. It's about pieces and how they fit in. But you know, I like I said before you as you was coming on, I think Wiggins has did some things that everybody's been expecting him to do for years. He stepped up, and I think he said, you know, I had this little controversy about me not getting vaccinated. You know, I better step up my game. And I got all these eyes on me. I got to play now. And he is balling. Had 19 other night against Brooklyn. So I know everybody, you know, Steph gets all the credit. You know, he deserves it. But you got to have other guys like that always step up.
I also think that if you look at the way the young guys have bought in and the way they move the ball now, is Golden State again before KD got there. When KD got there, it slowed the ball movement down and there was more ISO. But now they're back to that crazy ball movement, and that helps Wiggins, because that isolation basketball, Wiggins can't do a damn thing for you when you start isolating basketball. But when you move the ball around, you let him get a couple of those, you know, those open space dunks and everything. Now he's flying, and now he has that confidence. He's a different guy. That dude from Minnesota, who you wouldn't have traded like a popsicle stick for? No, it's a different. He's different now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's gonna get him a contract.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, it's amazing how the narrative, you know, narrative changes as the seasons and years go on. How, like you said, you know, Andrew Wiggins, you know, you could have got a bag of oats and a pack of bubble gum for him.
Yeah.
But now the guy is not only playing well, but he's shooting well. Like that culture of shooting the ball. I don't know who he's been working with, but those shots are falling.
Hey, Steph. Iguodala couldn't make a three-pointer. Also, he walks out the arena at Oakland, he can't make a three-pointer. I mean, he went other places. He couldn't throw it in the ocean. All of a sudden, he's back, and he's like, I can shoot it, too. I can defend and shoot it. And it's just, you know, it's a beautiful culture. And props also to Steve Kerr for, you know, cultivating that. And let's give some love to Bob Myers, too, the GM there, for figuring this thing out. Because now they've put a monster together.
Yeah.
That monster – meanwhile, the nightmare of New Jersey. You know, it's like you look at the two sides. It's like,
Well, speaking of New Jersey, that was, we haven't even gotten to this yet. But Stephen A. Had a moment today.
Didn't he?
Kind of went off on. Exactly. What day is it? He kind of went off a little bit on Kyrie. Said he kind of betrayed everybody, betrayed KD, betrayed the NBA. I kind of got a little heavy with the word betrayed. I'm like, my whole thing on Kyrie is, I think you know what you were buying when you traded for him if you're Brooklyn, right? And that's what you're going to build around. So you take the hits with the misses with guys like him.
Let me say this. And I said the same thing about Ben Simmons. Go back to college. When Ben Simmons was at LSU, he couldn't make a shot then. Mm-hmm. He couldn't lift up an LSU team over mediocre talent in the SEC then. So let's go back. Let's go back to Kyrie. What happened when he was at Duke? Oh, that's right. He really didn't play. Yeah. That's right. He sat all that one season out and everybody forgot about. This is a pattern. This is a history. This is who he is. And look, if you believe what Steven says, and I tend to believe because I've seen his phone and I see he's talking to people. And if you believe what Steven says, that they were supposed to go to New York and KD would be in the garden, not in Brooklyn. Mm. And then Kyrie whispered in his ear and he listened. And now he is being betrayed because, look, at the end of the day, dudes go to war. Robert Ory dressed every day. He was out on the court. I know there were days you ain't feel like being out there. I know there were days were hurt. You went out and did your job, though, didn't you? You went out and did your damn job. And so that's the thing. You don't get that many rings if you don't do your job. And that's the thing that people miss. Kyrie's not doing his job. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Don't do your job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And that's the hardest thing is he's so damn good. And he's must watch basketball when he plays. And it's like, I think there was just so much expectation with Durant and Harden and Kyrie on the same floor and the same team. And they were just going to run the East over, and it just hasn't gotten to where I think they hoped it was going to go.
Hold on, Rock. Were there times where you mentally didn't feel good? I know I've seen. Were there times? And let's be real here.
Yeah, 20 minutes ago when we started the podcast.
hold on. Let's talk about this. Were there times where there were issues going on off the court with your family that you had to deal with that weighed heavy on your head, but did you do your job?
Man, my whole career was like that, man. Started.
That's what. But you did your job, didn't you?
Yeah, I know a lot of people didn't even know my daughter was on death's door, and we was playing in the finals in New York, and this is before cell phones. And I'm after the game, I'm running to the hotel. Hotel bill is out the yin yang because I'm calling home and having her to call me, and you know, it's about, you know, trying to establish yourself. And for me, you know, I was on the first, second year. And I think after Kyrie won his first ring, you know, he established himself. He says, okay, I can become this activist. I can become this guy who can do all these other things. And basketball is not who I am. You got to think about it. It's a lot of guys that use basketball as a platform. I remember Matt Geiger. Y'all probably know who Matt Geiger is.
Matt Geiger, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Matt Geiger was like that. The guy who played at Georgia used Miami to get a contract just so he can go to be a doctor. I can't think of his name. Played at Georgia, was a center there. He did the same thing. A lot of guys are just not into basketball and love it like a lot of other guys. They use it as a platform for their next chapter in life. And I think Kyrie was in the middle of that next chapter in his life, and he was like, okay, I'm looking for an out. Oh, here's an out right here. So, but the out hasn't happened like he wanted, where he's not getting that whole 15 mil. I mean, he's only getting 15 instead of 30. So,
oh, poor him.
Poor him. That's what I'm saying. That's a lot of, listen, I'm listening to you say that. And I, you know, and I also think of Robert Smith, the running back from Ohio State, who wanted to be a doctor, you know, and all the things that went on, and how guys were like, well, he isn't really focused on basketball. But Kyrie gave us the perception. Be honest and be true to who you are. Yeah. He gave us the perception that he wanted to play basketball. Yeah. And when you go to a place and you sign a max contract, don't sign a little baby contract then. I'm not really sure where my head's at. So sign a baby contract. Don't take all the money and then say, I'm out.
And get in someone's ear and affect their money, you know, and their future. It's just tough.
Think about where KD could be right now. He could be running offense in Golden State. They could be blowing out everybody in the West, just rolling, making more crypto investments and doing all his stuff.
Buying arenas.
Yeah, you know, he could be doing this.
I think that what makes us the maddest is about that, because he's so fucking good.
Yes.
And what he could do on the court was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it'd been a... We wouldn't be talking about if he wasn't a talented dude, but this dude is super talented. It's like, we want to see his art. We want to see you perform on the court, and you're not giving us that. And so that was kind of pisses me off about that. Dude, you got all this game and so many things. It's only so many people that go on the court that make you go, ooh, whoa, did you see that? And he's not giving us that.
No.
Here's what I want to know. Will he be the biggest waste of talent when it's all said and done in the history of the NBA?
He's definitely one of them.
He's right up there.
Yeah, he's got to be. There. He's got to be near the top of that list for sure.
He won't be if he comes back next year.
We don't know.
But
we
what's
don't
it going to take for him to come back? That's the other thing too.
I know. I hope he figures it out, man. Because you hate to see. You know, it's not on the same level. But when you lose great players and you're like, damn it, I want to see him play more. Like Barry Sanders, like, no, don't be Megatron. No, where you going? You still got talent. Where you going? Yeah. These guys leave because they were so dynamic on the field of the court. And we're not getting that, man. We missed that.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. Now, Kev, I do want to ask, you know, we talked about, you mentioned the crypto, and obviously you have the name changed down there in state.
Yeah.
You know,
look, yeah.
I told the guys, and I know many people around the world who are Laker fans or not, you know, the Staples Center is a classic place for 20 plus years. I told Rob, I told these guys, mama called him Clay, I'm going to call him Clay, mama called him Staples, I'm going to call him Staples. What are your thoughts on this crypto.com?
I mean, listen, it is the way of the world right now. I mean, it's going to be crazy when, because people are going to still say Staples or in LA and in the iconic crypto.com center. What? Who's coming up with it? So, I mean, I will tell you, it'll be weird at first. It's a tough name change. It's just like when you say, you know, Washington Football Club now. It's a name change that had to happen, but you say it and you'll get used to it. And just like everybody will get, look, I'm used to New Orleans Jazz, okay? Now you want to go all the way back? I still want to call, I want to say the New Orleans Jazz. And so everything changes, man. Right. And by the way, money talks, and it makes
all
the world go round.
Oh, for sure.
And so many people are like, what is he talking about? New Orleans Jazz? Don't you know?
Oh, right. Yeah. There are people right now who are like, I mean, Googling. Yeah. If there is one thing you do not equate with jazz, it's Utah. But yes. Hey, anything is possible. So, you know,
possible. Possibly the whitest state in the country. Right. In the jazz.
Like, okay, all right.
All right, sure, why not? Why not?
Only you could say that.
That's my role on the show. Take the heat for the white people. That's my role on the show. Is this a nice reprieve for you, Kev, to talk sports a little bit? Because I know you love what you do. You do a hell of a good job on Entertainment Tonight, but it's just such a different world than...
It's so funny. In my ear right now, I hear the show playing back, and I hear Britney. You know, we're talking about Britney Spears. Yeah. And look, that's my job. That's what I do.
Right.
I love basketball. I love it. I mean, it's what I, you know, all my life. My father was a basketball coach. I grew up in this world. So it means, you know, this is what I think about and talk about, you know, all the time. When I'm not doing this, I'm talking about basketball because I love the game.
Yeah.
Now, so do you still try to play the game?
You know, I still play. I built a court in my backyard because I was like, look, I want my kids, you know, they need to work out and everything. But really, that was for daddy.
Oh, hold on. Listen to the wealth. The wealth.
No. You don't know. Hey, I can pour concrete. I go back there and we play old man basketball and I have my dudes over and we're out there playing, you know. We have food and some Gatorade, too, because we know somebody's going to get hurt.
Right.
Man, I just can't stop. And it's getting to that point where my 14-year-old now is trying to, you know, big up on me. And I'm like, listen, kid.
That's what I was heading because, you know, I have a 16-year-old that goes to Harvard West. Like,
yes, I know. I know about your 16-year-old. They got a
about
team.
A year ago, I had to like, he was blowing by me a little too fast. I'm like, okay, let me go to the big boy game. So I'm not going to lose. So the body time. You can't teach size, son. You can't teach size. So
nothing they can
get him
do.
On that perimeter. He's going right past me. I said, okay, don't miss. Because once you miss, I'm getting ready to go to what's work. Best
that is
paint.
Exactly what I do. You get a mouthful of me and my shoulder, and you will get a lot of it, and it's coming, and it's gonna keep coming. And you know, I like 2 weeks ago, I really just ran him. He went by me like three times, and so I was pissed. And so I backed him down and knocked him down and ran through him. And he jumped up. And my wife was sitting out there and his little trainer was sitting out there and he jumped up like, man, you can't. And I was like, oh, this is big boy basketball now. You reacted like a man. Now I'm going to treat you like a man. And now I'm going to treat you like a man. And I had to talk to him. I had to beat him up a little bit. Yeah. I had to beat him up. There were a few tears, but I know it's coming. I'm going to get it back.
Here's the most important thing. Did your wife get mad at you? Say, you need to let him win. Because my wife be like, you need to let him win. I'm like, no, I don't. No, I do not need to let him win.
Furious. When I was 12 years old, my father came home. We were playing in the driveway, and I blocked his shot. Mm. And he looked at me, and he's like, okay. And I responded like, you ain't getting that shot off no more, old man. The next time I jumped to block his shot, he caught me clean with an elbow and gave me my first ever black eye. I was like, damn. And he's like, hey. You jump up on me, you go pay the price. And so that's how it is. Because once it's over, it's over. And then I have to sit for the rest of my life and watch him just, you know, talk. And I can talk about the good old days.
Well, there's another
teach.
You know, speaking of older gentlemen, old former players, Scottie Pippen.
Yes.
Been all over the media, you know, ever since the MJ doc came out, you know, last summer. And, you know, he's been in his feelings a bit. Obviously, he has a book. Yeah. What are your... Look, we know Scottie's one of the 50 great, well, now even one of the 75 greatest players of all time. And we understand that Michael is supreme. Michael is Mike. We know MJ.
He's Mike. Well,
What are your thoughts on Scottie? Can you leave it alone? Can you just be great in your own right?
Listen.
Before you ask that, did you get your copy?
I damn sure did. Okay. I downloaded the audio book. Come on now. And here's the thing I want to say. It's like, it has to be hard for Scottie to live in Michael's shadow like he lived. He was in Michael's shadow. And so I get that. Even though Scottie made the bad deal with the contract, that was on him.
Mm-hmm.
But covering those years in the Bulls and watching the work and what Scottie did, I understand his discontent. I also understand that we live in this fantasy world where we believe that everybody that's playing on a team loves each other. Meanwhile, you go to work every day and you may not like your coworker. Mm-hmm. Y'all see each other, you play, you do your job, and then you walk out the arena. Everybody thought that Scottie and Michael were attached to the hip, and they were not. And they didn't love each other. They did their job. Right. Michael loved that there was a dude there that could do his job. And I'm just like, look, you're going to tell me there are days, and this is 100% true, Rob, where you didn't look at Kobe and you'd be like, hey, if you don't run this offense and pass this daggone ball, I'm going to have to come over and – right? Right?
Hey, we used to do this to him. We're like, yo. And everybody was like, he never knew. I don't think he ever knew that this was like, don't throw him the ball. And we were that's how we were reining back in. Like, no, dude, you just can't go off on your own. I says, no. Nope. We got to break it back down. Let's run this offense.
And I remember distinctly watching D. Fish look at him, pump the ball, and then go the other way. D. Fish would go just like this. Hey, and go the other way.
And this is Kobe.
Yes.
It was so funny. Everybody would, it was like he had that hand clap, but it was so funny. He started licking his lips and get pissed. No, dog, we got to calm you down.
Yeah. And so I think people don't understand the inner dynamics of a team. And so I think they want to see and they want to be like, Scottie was so happy and he loved Michael so much. And he carried him off the court that time when he was feeling sick in Utah and held him up because they're blood brothers. But it was dudes who wanted to win.
Right.
And they had a winning mentality. So look, Scottie, go ahead. Sell your book. Scottie, sell some damn books. He sure did sell some books, didn't he?
It's great promotion.
Everywhere. Greatest promotion. And you know what? Mike was like, go ahead and sell your books, bro. I'm good.
Yeah.
It's so many people hating on Scottie. But, you know, it's the thing is a book is about telling your side of a story. And is it his side of the story? Because, you know, I remember my last in the league, they came to me and was like, hey, you need to write a book. You know, you doing? I was like, no, dude, because if I write a book, I'm going to tell the damn story.
Right.
And I'm either going to come up missing or I'm leaving the country, because after I tell the story, it's going to be a lot of people pissed
at me. This podcast would have been a hell of a lot better. That's all I'm saying.
And by the way, that's the thing that people don't understand. How many nights did you stand in that locker room and look over and be like, I just saved your ass and your ass?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, all right, y'all go ahead and talk. Y'all do it, y'all handle it. Okay, but yeah. I might have done something.
I didn't say that. I was like, see, motherfuckers, this is what I can do if you give me the damn ball. I said that more often than you ran some fucking plays for me, man. Shit, I can get my game off too.
So it's interesting. It's interesting that if you know and love basketball and you watch the contributions that everyone makes, you see that the things the dudes are doing that people aren't jumping up and down about.
Right.
That's one of the things I watched my entire time covering the Lakers, because I was lucky enough to cover them for that entire run, was what Robert was doing is those things that people don't get, that they don't show up in the Hall of Fame balloting. It doesn't say, oh, but by the way, he got the 6 rebounds that y'all needed down the stretch.
Right.
Oh, by the way, he was the one who stretched the floor so you could swing the ball so that dude could get that shot. Oh, by the way, he handled the ball late so that dude could run down the court and catch a breather. There's so many different things, and, you know, defending people and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's just fascinating. I think that's where Scottie's head is at. He's like, man, do you know how many nights I stopped? I stopped cats. I stopped them so they wouldn't go off. So you could run around and jog and be okay.
Right. So you could have the energy to score 40 and 50 while I'm over here doing all
that. That's no disrespect to Michael. Right. That's just saying what Scottie did.
Yeah. And you know what? Even, you know, look, you know, Scottie is selling his books and Mike is probably sitting at home. You're like, go ahead, Scottie. Because even right now, I'm still the best thing that ever happened to you because you're selling your books.
Well, that and them checks keep coming from them tennis shoes.
Woo. Yeah.
That has its own name. It ain't really checks anymore. It's just
gold bar. Direct deposit just hits. Yeah.
It's so funny though. You think about it. You go back to like all the dynamic duos that won championships. Mm-hmm. You know, when Scotty left, he never won another championship. When Shaq left Kobe, they both won championships. So, you know, they like, okay, can we do it without each other? Yes, but in Scotty's case, he couldn't because he ran into a dynamic duo that stopped him.
Yep.
And Shaq and Kobe. So I think if Scotty would have went off and won a championship, someone else, we wouldn't be giving him as much flack as what they're doing about this book, because now everybody says, dude, you needed Jordan to win your championship. Jordan needed you to win his championship. So if he would have had that opportunity to win another one, he could go back and his book would probably sell a lot more than what it's going to sell.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And also Michael is the sacred kind of deity, right? He is Black Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's really taking hardcore shots at Black Jesus. Nobody's been like, I'm just going to fire off on Michael. Like, if it wasn't for me, Mike wouldn't have shit. Yeah, no, wait a minute. It's Mike.
Right.
It's Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know Jason Caffey probably saying that somewhere right now. That's my boy. I talked to Jason the other day.
Yeah. Oh, so take us back to those early Lakers days, man. How do you guys remember meeting? Like, Kevin, do you remember running into Rob? Like, where'd you guys get acquainted outside of just talking to him?
On the road, interviewing him at practices, everything. And the thing that I loved is that here's what happened. You have the dynamic duo, right? Mm-hmm. And there's all that that's going on with that. And Rob was the regular dude that you could go to when you needed a look. I just need to talk to the game about the game, and I don't need to talk about all this crazy stuff. That would give it to you straight with no chaser, and that was the important thing. And so I think that was part of it. And also, like I said, I love basketball. I grew up with a basketball coach. So I understood that I gravitated to also interviewing Rob when I was out there because he was doing so many things that were underappreciated. I think that like if there's two people that I would look at and say in that Lakers run that didn't get enough credit would be Rob and Lamar. Those two don't get enough credit for all they did during that run. Yeah. It was amazing what the other two did. But I think these guys also deserve.
Right.
Love. And that's why you can go off and you get other places and you fit in and you win more rings.
Hey, what's up? It's Meta World Peace here. And I got my new podcast, Metaphorically Speaking. We're going to be talking about mental health, basketball, and a lot of tough topics. All that and more with my friends and celebrities. So make sure you check out my podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
And Kevin, that's why I told Rob, he talked about, going back to Staples and getting a tribute video. And I'm like, dude, you hit one of
the longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You hit Staples. Big old, you hit some of the biggest shots.
Yeah, no, it's always going to be Staples.
Oh, no. I'm in Atlanta. I'm halfway across the country. And all the way across the country, I'm going to call it Staples. I'm gonna call it Staples
forever.
It's gonna be Staples to me.
Yeah.
So him hitting those iconic shots, I said, with that Lakers across your chest, dude, you're beloved there. Obviously, you have Kobe and Shaq, who are the big dogs there. But you, D. Fish, Brian Shaw, guys like that, guys who did a lot of the dirty work and really were the stitching that held that thing together. LA fans are always gonna love you for that.
That crew was different and special, and that is like. You know, I think in many ways, LA has been chasing that team where the pieces fit together for a long time.
Yeah.
Like trying to figure out how to get that balance again. And going back to that shot against Sacramento, to understand the importance of that shot, go back to Peja Stojakovic, alligator arm, that jumper he had up in Sacramento. Okay. Yeah. So then now go back to this shot and think about when that ball was tapped out. I remember just looking up like, shit. Yep. And then you caught it. And I was like, and then you let it go. The thing is, you took the time to think it through. You know, you took, you called, you're like, I got this. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I was like, and then just the mayhem. I don't think people can understand the mayhem that ensued, because it was like the ball got knocked out. It was over.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah.
Y'all, it was over. When the ball got hit out, I was like, damn it. And that shot, you were more, the place was like stunned for a second. And if you watch the video back of it, you see a kind of like, huh? Oh! And so, I mean, it was just one of, it's one of the greatest moments in Lakers history, because of when you put it all into context of everything that was going on and how much those two teams also didn't like each other.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Was,
ooh.
You know, and that's what I tell, I talk to people. This is, you know, they want to talk about fish shot. My side. I said, first of all, I was on Spurs. Fish shot didn't count.
No, it counted.
I said, it's a difference. It's a difference in making a shot on the road and then making a shot in your building.
Yeah,
you know, you love making shots on the road, but when you're able to knock down a shot in your building and let the crowd go crazy and chant your name, and especially in the playoffs, it's huge, man. So that, you know, that's one of my top shots of all time, man. So,
man,
I had to go that, back and that's my baby.
That shot, it just, I'm telling you, people go back and look at it and look at kind of how everyone is so stunned for a second. Like, everybody's like, what? What just happened? And they're stunned.
Right.
Like, look at the Sacramento reactions. They're stunned because that was a hump that they tried to get over for so
I had the photo. I think the best part of my photo is Kobe like this. And like, yeah, I know that's going in, right? It's a great shot from that. And then when they show the video and you see it's our ball boy named Dante when he streaks across the floor, Dante. Man. It's, and the crowd erupts at the same time. It still gives me goosebumps when I watch that shot from the top of the arena, atop of Staples, top of Crypto, top of Crypto.
Top of Crypto. Top,
whatever it's called. Kev, I gotta ask, you know, I know when I first got in the league, and I came to L.A., I was kind of a fanboy, I'm going to say. I remember it was when I got to L.A. And I played the Lakers for the first time, a little country boy from Alabama, and I saw all the stars. I was just, you know, like in awe. So you have the pleasure of interviewing so many people. Has there been – who is the one person where you really had to keep your composure, where you just didn't want to say, give me a hug, man, I love you? So
There's been a bunch of those, you know, and it's crazy, like you said, in Staples. And I will tell you this: the first time I interviewed Halle Berry was on a red carpet, and she was coming down on the red carpet, and she was wearing just a blazer, and the blazer was cut out, and her belly button was kind of open and everything. And I asked her a question, which I forgot, and I just started staring at her belly button, and I was looking, I was like, oh my God, that's Halle Berry's. That's just so perfect. It's so perfect. And I was just looking, you know, and I'm just standing, I'm looking, and she's looking back at me because she's answered the question. She's like, you know, I finished answering the question. And I just had to stop and fess up, and I was like, I'm sorry. I was looking at your belly button. I lost it.
At all the body parts, she looked at your belly button.
I'm looking at her belly button. But Halle was like, it's all good. It's good. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand. And so there are lots of moments with that with people, you know, because you just, these are the people that you go home and watch. Like I watch basketball and I get to talk to basketball players, but these are the people you watch in the pop culture mix. And so when you first see them, a lot of times it's like, I'm sure like it was for you when you looked over a couple of times and you saw some of the people who were sitting courtside and they're looking at you like, what's up? Hey. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, hey.
What's up, Jack Nicholson?
Like with Denzel. Yeah. Denzel, like, is Denzel talking to me? Like, we boys? Like, oh, shit, what's up, Denzel? What's up, man? You know? And then you see him afterward, he comes up to you and starts talking about the game. You like,
right,
dude, do you realize who you are? I know you do.
Right.
And you're talking to me, man. You know, it's moments like that. It makes you feel good. It's funny that you mentioned Halle Berry, and it was when she came to a game one time. That's all everybody on the bench. Man, Halle over there. You see Halle? And the ball goes out of bounds, and everybody runs to take it out. I'm like, dude, I take the ball out. Move out of the way, man.
Get your ass out of here.
And you look down at Halle, you just smile. She looks at you, and you smile. I'm like,
you know you want some of this, don't you, Hallie?
Oh, yeah. Of course she did. She's everybody's kryptonite, by the way, because we did a show with Shaq for years, and that was the one time he said he could never get a sentence out.
Yeah.
Standing on the elevator with Halle Berry, and he's like, I got an opportunity. What do I say? And I think, hey. That's about the most he could get out. And then that was it. She walked off. He was like,
yeah. She is so beautiful. And when you're staying, when you have to stand right there toe to toe and talk to her with common sense, it takes a second. Like, I'm now just getting there. I've been here 15 years, 17 years.
Right.
I'm just getting used to it now where I'm like, oh, hey, Hallie, how are you doing?
Right.
You know, but for a long time, I'd be like, yeah, Halle Berry standing here.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy. And it's the same kind of thing you get. Like, we used to do the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Oh, Lord.
And we would fly on the plane.
A lot of belly buttons.
Well, we would fly on the plane with the Angels, and then we'd land in, say, London or Paris, and then you go do the show, and you'd be backstage, and they're all walking around in lingerie. They're changing. They're doing stuff. And you're in the back of your mind. You're like, oh, my God. I'm about to lose my mind.
See, Kevin's been very professional here. They actually walk around butt-ass naked. They don't, hey, I did a couple of modeling shows where everybody just stripped down butt-ass. They don't care.
Around,
everything hanging out. I'm like, hey, man, come on now. I'm like,
you don't care.
You got to be professional. You have to look straight ahead. And I like you don't see them, but they don't even care. They just
don't care.
Just,
they're walking by you and you're like, wait a minute. Some of the most beautiful
women. Composure.
Right. I'm looking dead in your eyes.
I will not.
When you start doing this. Yeah, you know, I do a lot of interviews with a lot of people, and I was wondering.
Right, exactly.
All right, Stevie? Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Off here.
Like that. Kevin, I do want to know this. Have you ever seen Will Smith and Robert Ory in the same room? Because they're the same person.
Hold on. Robert, you just had your premiere the other night. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, it's talking about Venus and Serena. It was fun, man, you know.
Yeah.
It is funny that the two do look alike, you know? Do.
Very much.
Yeah, they do.
Have you gotten that? Has anybody ever called you Will?
I used to get it a lot, man. You know, back in the day, they used to always do those little doppelganger things on it, and it will always put he and I next to each other. I've told this story before, but I'm going to make it quick. My middle son, we were driving around in L.A. He said, there you go, Daddy. There you go, Daddy. I'm like, what are you talking about? Now, I finally looked. It was Will Smith on a billboard. He said, no, that's you right there on the billboard. I'm like, that's not me, son. But he was only like 3 years old then, you know. So he thought that Will Smith was me. Yeah. So I used to get that a lot.
That's funny.
See, that's crazy because, you know, there's another person who comes to Laker games. I remember there was a game where it was like Will, Tom Cruise. There was a bunch. It was the finals. And they were all there on the side of the court. And we were doing interviews before the game. And it was like, it was a crazy group of people that were just like these big, crazy stars. And I just always wondered, like, what is it like for y'all sitting on that bench looking out over at them? Like, and these are the biggest movie stars in the world. And they are just, they're like fangirls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And wishing they could do some of those moves. I'm like, you know, so it's, mm-hmm. it's just weird.
Yeah. You know,
it's like an entertainment family when it comes to L.A. basketball. Mm-hmm. And the entertainers love the basketball. You know, only one person loves the Clippers. That's Billy Crystal.
Everybody else loves
the Lakers.
The one Clipper fan in the whole city. Well, Kadeem Hardison. We give Kadeem Hardison. Okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because a different world is back in reruns. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. We'll let you run, Kev. We know you got a show to get ready for. And,
yes.
We appreciate your time, man. You're always the best, and continued success.
Appreciate it, Kevin.
Yeah, I appreciate talking to y'all. I love talking basketball. Bob, you know I've always appreciated you throughout these years. How you always stop to talk, man. But, you know, you need your due. Got to give you your love and your due.
We got to get him in the Hall of Fame. We got to get him in the Hall of Fame, man. Rudy T started that push.
How does it do with that many rings not being in the Hall of Fame?
Let's
just stop for a second.
Thank you.
How many dudes are in the Hall of Fame that didn't win a ring?
There's how one on TNT every Thursday night. Yeah. Every Thursday night. Terrible.
I guarantee.
Yeah. All right,
hey,
Kevin.
But before you go, Kev, you know, you get the old man games up, man. Why don't get the invite? That's all I'm saying.
I'm not bringing you. Hell no.
I'm
going to tell you one quick story before I go. I got to go. I'm going to tell you a quick story. When I was at ESPN, Doug Gottlieb would play basketball with us at the Bristol Y. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he'd give dudes business because he was, you know, he was good at Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was a good player, all-time assist leader. You know, and he could, you know, against us, he could shoot it.
Right.
So he was talking junk one day while I'm sitting with Greg Anthony. And these other dudes are hyping him up. And so they're talking junk. They're like, Greg, don't come to the Y because Doug will get you. And I'm like, do y'all understand that Greg Anthony is one of the greatest defensive players ever? I mean, like, he played.
Yeah.
So we go to Bristol Y. Doug comes down, hits a three. And Cass is like, oh, I told you he's going to bust his ass. And I was like, okay. And Greg went on to put on a show. It's like he ran him through a videotape of how to defend, how to score. And so, and after that, I looked at everybody and said, don't go on the court with no old NBA players because they will bust your ass. You'll never get an invite to my house to come play. You'll destroy cats.
Yeah.
You'll make cats feel so bad they go home. They will be brokenhearted. Hell no.
Yep.
No. You can come officiate, but you're never playing.
That's true.
I love you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Hey, man, it's an honor, man. It's an honor.
Hey, thank you all for having me on. It's an honor.
And anytime, Kevin.
I see you in the Hall of Fame. Come on, man.
Thanks, bro.
All right, yeah, man. All right, see you, man.
Oh, that was great.
Dude, Kevin's the best.
Oh, that was great.
Holy cow, he's great. I forgot that he was covering the Lakers for all those years. I knew he was covering the NBA, but I forgot he was covering you. That's crazy.
He was he would cover us, and he was like new to the scene, right? And he had, you know, he had that smile that lights up a room back then, and he was just a nice guy. It's, and that's a couple of reporters that I always liked, Tony. Kevin, of course, J.A., Brad Turner, you know. Like I said, I want to get all those guys on the show and just do, you know, talk about the old Laker days. And
yeah, we should, man.
Yeah, yeah, why not? So,
yeah.
100%. Are you a big Doris Burke fan?
Yes.
I love me some Doris.
I love Doris.
I love Doris. Just
she's
listening to her. Like, I could listen to her all day.
It's not
day.
Just when you come, like it's how hard you come.
I can listen to that all day too.
No, mine is that one. We get Doris Burke on, you have to throw that one away.
You're like, Doris, did you realize yourself?
I want her on just so we can ask her about that. She gets any flack or feedback.
I'm bowing out of that out of sheer embarrassment. I'm just going to slide on back here.
Okay.
Yeah, right into the bushes.
Right into the bushes.
You in the Staples Center, back in the bushes.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.